I'm a little bit undone. The worship has just plowed a deep, deep line right across the center of my soul. The series, as if you're a first-time guest, we're wrapping up a series on forgiveness. And I was just praying and saying, God, how do you want me to wrap this up? What is the best way that our family can hear from your throne in this area, this topic of forgiveness? And this morning, we're going to do things a little bit different, kind of order of way we do things. We're gonna spend some time reflecting. Then we're going to participate in what many call Lord's Supper, others Table of Mercy, others the Eucharist, others Communion. It's taking a very special time to think about who God is, what He's done for us, and who we are in Christ Jesus. And I believe in order to really be able to set the foundation for today's message, we have to go back to the foundation itself. I truly believe that you and I will never, ever be able to genuinely be dispensers of total forgiveness until we go back to the cross and remember Jesus dispensing His forgiveness and His grace for us. We have to go back, and we have to lay the foundation for forgiveness is to remember what Jesus did for me and what He did for you. Scripture, the Apostle Paul was real concerned about helping people follow Jesus Christ. It was his desire, it was his life passion. After his experience with Christ firsthand on the road to Damascus, upon his forgiveness of all the things that he had done, Paul wrote to a church that was pretty kind of messed up and needing some guidance. And in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote to that church these words. And they were struggling. If you go back and look just prior to this passage, you'll see that there were division. There was separation. There was the lack of reconciliation. There were problems amongst the family. And Paul wrote this. He says, "For I received from the Lord..." He's already acknowledging what he's received from the Lord. "And then in turn, what I've received from the Lord," he said, "I passed on to you." And then he goes straight to the foundation. He said, "On the night that he," Jesus, "was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks and broke it." Now, we all know that that bread is a representation. He says, "I am the bread of life." And you think about the crucifixion and the price that he paid for you and I, and as we just saw, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do." When we begin to think of that, what God has done for us, he says that Jesus gave thanks and broke it, and he said this to the family, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and said, "This cup is a new covenant established by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Oftentimes we'll be in situations where taking of the table of mercy or communion or whatever you choose to call it, we rush through it. We rush through it and we really don't take time to remember the total forgiveness that Jesus Christ offered on the cross. God loved you so much that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much you and I are loved by God. He says, "For as often as you eat this bread, drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." There's something that happens inside of us as we begin to be dispensers instead of just recipients. But then he gives a warning, and he says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. So a man should examine himself in this way. And in this way, he should eat the bread and drink from the cup. Forgiveness, unforgiveness is sin. Harboring ill and ill will and bitterness and anger and malice and not being willing to forgive others is the area we've been talking about. And God wants you to experience all that He has for you. But you have to really first contemplate what He did on the cross. I love singing the victory because every time I look at the cross, I see an empty cross. He's not there. I look at the grave and or the tomb and I'm reminded of that, and He's not there. He is risen. And I know that He's not just standing idle in heaven. He's preparing a place for us that where He is, we can get there also. But you have to take time to examine yourself. And so for just the next few minutes, as the folks who will be serving the Lord's Supper this morning at the table of mercy, they'll go ahead and come now. But I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to ask in the way that only you can, say, God, can you look deep into my heart? Can you help me truly understand the depth and the width of the love that you had for me to forgive me? If you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, then when it's time to take of this these elements, the bread and the cup, which are representative of Christ and what He's done for us, then I'm just going to encourage you, if you haven't said yes to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and received His full gift of forgiveness and grace and mercy and surrendered your life to Him, then please, please, let you just remain in your seat and please don't take of this because it's serious business. The other thing is for those of us who have said yes to Jesus Christ, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to ask God to say, God, look deep into my heart, search me, and see if I'm still harboring those things, if I have lack of forgiveness in my heart, and I can feel that crustacean of bitterness building around my heart. It's choking out my very soul. Only you and God know what the truth is. If you're willing this morning to say, God, please forgive me of that, and willing to take whatever steps God is asking of you to be a minister of reconciliation, then take of the cup. Take of the bread. But if there's still something there that you're harboring, still that fear of stepping out in faith, thinking somehow you're going to lose something if you don't forgive, or if you do forgive, then I encourage you, please don't participate. Just sit in your seats and continue to do business with God, and if you work that out with Him, then please, then participate. It's a holy moment. It's a special moment. It's a privileged moment. It's a moment that brings us back to what Christianity is all about. Forgiveness. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His lifeblood spilt for us. His body reeked with pain and havoc and spit upon and shame for us. Because He wanted us to experience joy and peace and love and happiness and all those things that He has planned in advance for us. So God, right now, Holy Spirit, we welcome You to this place. We ask God now that You would just search every heart here. May no doors be closed to You. May we be open to what it is You want us to do. God, I pray for those who've been hurt so bad that they're just struggling. God, would You just help them forgive. I pray for those who are struggling with the guilt that they've hurt people so bad they can't even forgive themselves. God, would You help them experience Your healing right now? Lord, I stand on your word. I thank you, God, for your word that says, if I will confess my sins, that you will be faithful to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. God, it's then when I truly recognize how much you love me. Oh God, how could I not help but pass on that forgiveness and mercy to others? So Holy Spirit, do your work now. Speak to every individual the way only you can. And then, God, give us strength and courage and the ability to forgive others, to ask for forgiveness, and to forgive ourselves. But most importantly, God, during this time as we approach a season of thanksgiving, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for forgiving us and giving us hope for the future. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's how we commemorate, celebrate, remember what God has done for us. Just a moment as the Lord leads you. We want to have you to have the time to do this. So the Lord leads you. There's three stations up front. There's two stations at the back. Everything's gluten-free, so you really won't have to worry about having a negative reaction. We want everyone to participate that you've done business with God. One more time, I would be remiss. I would be wrong if I didn't encourage you to not take this if you're not willing to get right with God and get right with others. So as the Lord leads you and as you've done business with God, you can step out of your seat. You can come as individuals. You can come as friends. Husbands, I would encourage you to come with your families, and maybe even you serve your family. And the way that we do it here is you're going to come up and or go back to one of the stations. You will get a piece of the unleavened bread, and I'd love to have more time to talk about the unleavened bread, but this represented the stripes and the sword piercing our Lord. And you'll take that and you'll dip it into the cup, which represents his blood, and then you'll take it there at the station and then return to your seats, and we'll continue with closing out this series. As God leads you, now's the time to celebrate the table of mercy. I don't know about you, but this series has pretty much wrecked my world. To be honest, this series has not been easy for me, because forgiveness for me is it's the most difficult challenge I believe I face as a follower of Christ. Forgiveness just doesn't come naturally to me. It just doesn't. But what God has really, truly been just revealing to me in so many different ways through the Word, through prayer, through testimony of others, is that forgiveness is something that is not natural, but it is a supernatural response to receiving Christ Jesus, to saying yes to His forgiveness. The moment that I accepted God's forgiveness, there was an expectation placed upon me as a follower of Jesus Christ that I would begin to act like Him. I would begin to walk like Him. I would begin to actually talk like Him and speak those words that edify, that I would become like Jesus. And there's no way to tackle the topic of forgiveness without recognizing that Jesus Christ set the standard. It was hard for Him too, both physically. We see in the garden He struggled with it emotionally. But because God sent Him with a purpose, Jesus in that garden agonized and said, "But God, not my will, yours be done." There's so many times when it relates to forgiveness that we don't want to. It may be based out of fear. It may be based out of, if I let this person off the hook, we don't trust God to do his job. At least I don't at times. And really, as I've shared over the last few weeks, in fact, I would say, God, I'll leave it up to you, but would you please do X, Y, Z? And so this morning, as we kind of wrap this up, I struggle with forgiveness, and I believe that we all have something in common. All of us who are believers in Christ Jesus have at least two things in common. Jesus, our Lord, and number two, we struggle with forgiveness. Can I get a witness to that at all, as we're the church being honest? How many of you struggle with forgiveness? How many of you struggle this week with forgiveness? How many of you struggled and you think somebody needs to forgive you and you needed to be involved in that? This morning we're going to struggle one last week together. And you know, it's interesting. We as pastors sometimes struggle in ways that I don't know if it comes, I think it must come with the responsibility. We struggle with, are we making an impact? Does what we do and what we preach, trying to point people to get in the center of God's will, does it make any impact? And I have to tell you, this series has been encouraging because I receive texts and emails, and people come up to me, and one, for example, came up to me after one of the services. He said, "Man, I love you." And he said, I want you to know something. You hurt my heart this morning, but you healed my heart." I got a text this week that just blessed my soul, because, again, I don't know why I always struggle with these feelings and of just not being used or whatever. And the text just was God's sunburst moment to me. And he said, "Hey, I want you to know this series has impacted my life so much that in the past week I have forgiven 3 people. And it's blessed me, but it's also blessed those people." And I've got another text that I'll share one a little bit later when we get down into the meat of this, of just unbelievable acts of forgiveness by people that, quite frankly, I've had to come to grips with and say, "Man, I just don't know that I'm that good. I just don't know I could do that." And I can promise you, I can't do that without God's help, and neither can you and me. So if you have your Bibles, let's kind of usher in this last message and challenge on the area of forgiveness. To Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. You'll know it as the Beatitudes. You're saying, "Wait a minute, why the Beatitudes?" This was the first public, large group setting where Jesus set the people down and talked to them or taught them or preached to them. And in this famous message to the people, the first thing that Jesus Christ introduces and challenges the people with is in this area of forgiveness. If you found your place, please stand with me. We'll have that on the screen. And would you follow along silently as I read this aloud, and may God allow this word to sink in deep today, to get in all the nooks and crannies of our heart. When he, Jesus, saw the crowds. Let me just stop there. Jesus saw people as people. Sitting out in that crowd, there were people that we looked at those signs up here. There were people that had done everything, had things done to them. But Jesus saw the people. He saw the crowd. And he went up on that mountain. After he sat down, his disciples came to him, and then he began to teach them. And them is that group that had gathered along with his disciples. And he began to teach them, and he said, "The poor in spirit are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." Can I just tell you, being unforgiving means we're haughty. We're not willing to be forgivers. We're proud, haughty people. But he says, "The poor in spirit, recognizing who we are and who we are not, are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Those who mourn are blessed." Doesn't say we're not going to have struggles. Doesn't say we're not going to have trials and tribulation. Doesn't going to say that we're not going to have grief and all those things. He said, "But those who mourn are blessed, for they will be comforted." In Christ Jesus, you will be comforted. The gentle are blessed. Think about unforgiveness compared to gentleness. for they will inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We could stop right there and speak a whole message. Do you really hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you really want to act like, walk like, talk like, and behave like Jesus? But he says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed, for they will be filled. With what? Peace and joy and happiness. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The pure. Well, he says, the merciful are blessed, for they will be shown mercy. The pure in heart are blessed, for they will see God. The more we're like Him, the more we'll become like Him, the more we'll see Him. The peacemakers, not the peacekeepers, the peacemakers are blessed, for they will be called sons of God. And then he ends this portion, says, those who are persecuted for righteousness are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You may be seated, and may God help us practice to put into action in our lives one of the greatest gifts we've ever received, and that's forgiveness. This morning, you can hopefully be able to remember this because I'm going to do a 5, 6, and 7. We're going to do 5 scenarios in which you must practice forgiveness. 5 scenarios that are pretty general of things that we, as we wrap this up. And then we're going to talk about 6 stages of forgiveness. And then all throughout this series, we really not talked about the steps to forgiveness, actual steps that you and I can take to forgive or be forgiven. And the first I want us to look at is there's 5 scenarios where we face the need to forgive. The first is our foes, our enemies. There are people out there, I'm sure you've experienced, if you haven't this far, thank God, you've been blessed, but there are people out there who literally want to hurt you and hurt your feelings. Do you believe that? Has anybody ever experienced that in your life? They're just mean people. I mean, they are the enemy, and they are led by the ultimate enemy, Satan, and they want to bring you down. They don't want you to ever get back up. They don't want you to find your purpose. They want to hold you back, and we have to practice forgiveness. In fact, the Bible tells us in multiple places, it's a hard swallow. He says, look, you're about to pray for your enemies. You're to basically bless those who curse you and cause you all kinds of harm. But you're God. God, you can do that. But Christ is in me, is He not? He is in you, is He not? And through us, He wants to manifest Himself in and through us. It's sometimes very difficult to forgive our enemies. But the next one is really the hardest, I believe. It's family. How many of you here, by show of hands, have ever been hurt in your family? I mean hurt. I don't want you to raise your hand if you've done the hurting, but we all know what it feels like to be hurt by family. And then God is telling us we have to pray for our enemies. Does you think He expects anything less with our families? If He expects us to forgive and do kind things and pray for those who despitefully use us, do you not think that He expects the same thing from family? But family, Jay, families know how to push my button. Yes, they do. They know how to do those things that hurt the most. I was going to have an interview up here this morning, but I decided we'll do it this way. A lady in our church shared her testimony of forgiveness with me. Her 15-year-old nephew, her sister's son, was given a gun by this lady's sister who goes to our church. Her sister gave that 15-year-old a gun, and that 15-year-old killed the member of our church's father. He killed his grandfather in hopes of an inheritance. He had come into some money, and he shot him dead. So now you think about this, you have a lady in our church who her sister gave her nephew, or the lady's son, and he killed her father. Shot him dead. Can you imagine the turmoil that went along with trying to learn to forgive the 15-year-old boy who shot and killed his grandfather, who's now in prison, or trying to forgive the mother who encouraged him to do the killing? That's a worst-case scenario in family, but she told me She said, I have learned to forgive my nephew, and I am learning to forgive my sister. But her father, that young man's grandfather, was taken from this earth based on greed. And it encouraged my heart. I don't want to embarrass her, but we were going to actually bring her up here. But it encouraged me that she was willing to tell me that testimony, and that how this series has helped her and is helping her further down the line and the journey to forgiveness. I just don't know that I'm that good. And it breaks my heart. I mean, you can forgive other people, but family is very difficult to forgive. Friends, how many of you ever had a friend betray you? Anybody? Hurts. Somebody you thought you could trust, someone that they said they'd stand by you, and next thing you know, they're sleeping with your wife or your girlfriend. They're stabbing you in the back at work so they can get the promotion. They're taking credit for your work. You find out that they're talking bad about you to other people. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but the familiar. So you have the foes, you have the family, you have the familiar. People that we work with, you know, you think you're colleagues, your friends. And you find out you're really more acquaintances, and you don't really, that person doesn't care for you, and you're in their way to get to the next rung on the ladder. So you have the foes, the friends, the familiar, and the family. And then I call these the flankers. These are the folks that don't use their blinkers when they're cutting across in front of you on the highway. And does that bug anybody else? Y'all know that's my pet peeve. It just embarrasses me to death for them to think that they bought a Mercedes or a BMW and they didn't come equipped with blinkers. Or they cut in front of you, and these are what I come out of the blue. I'm having a great day, and all of a sudden now I've got to practice forgiveness. God, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. That's obvious. They're idiots, God. And I have to struggle with my heart getting, hey, some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. I hope it wasn't you that cut in front of me. And I hope I don't have to ask you forgiveness. Jesus saw all of those people, and yet he chose to forgive them. Those are pretty much the common areas in which we'll deal with, other than forgiving ourselves, which is probably the hardest. But these are the scenarios in which you have to practice it, usually on a daily basis. You know, I was thinking, even this week in the area, traffic is a big pet peeve of mine. For example, my wife was driving to work last week, and a man pulled in front of her with a truck, had all kinds of stuff where he'd been cutting down trees and logs, and a big log about this big around, about that long, came out of that truck, began to bounce. And it hit my wife's car and hit into the windshield, shattering her windshield. Could have killed her. And I have to tell you, I had to practice forgiveness, even though I don't know this person. That was a flanker that came out of the blue, where God's saying, are you really going to pray for that guy's well-being? My usually response is, where's a cop when you need him, right? So we have five scenarios of total forgiveness, but we have six stages. And I want you to listen to these and ask God to show you which stage you're at. Because remember last week I told you that forgiveness is a journey. It's a lifelong journey. It is a daily journey that you and I are on. Sometimes we do real good and then something pops back up and we're right back at another stage. Stage zero. Let's call it stage zero. Stage zero is that we have accepted Jesus Christ. We know that he's forgiven us. But we're in the stage of disobedience. We're zeros. Anybody else besides me ever been a zero? I've been a zero. God, I know what you ask of me to do, but I'm not going to do it. Watch out. Many of us spend the majority of our being like Christ, not being like Christ, in stage zero. We know, we hear it, we read it, we've had it modeled to us. We look at the cross, we can't forget it, and yet we decide, God, I know what you expect of me, but I'm not going to do that. That's level zero. Level two is really what the first is disobedience. The level one is what I call duty. We know we're going to do it, and so, okay, God, my heart's not really in it because you said I have to. I'm going to do my best. Strictly out of doing it because you know you need to, and the Word of God says you need to. Some of us never get beyond that stage. And so we're doing it out of reluctance and out of performance versus really what's in our heart. We love the Lord, and we know we have to do it, so we at least we've taken the first step. We're at stage number one. There's step number two, level two, I would call it, is debt. Level two is the area of debt. You may not feel like it because you did something like the Lord's Supper, or you've been reading, God's working with you in your prayer life. You realize that you've been forgiven, so out of that debt, you begin to practice forgiveness. Remember what I said in the very beginning, though, the very first week, you cannot learn forgiveness until someone has done you harm. Forgiveness is one of the areas where God is helping us move along the spiritual continuum until we reach one day heaven and we no longer have to struggle in these areas. Level three, it's what I call the level of desire. And this marks a remarkable change in your spirituality. This is the level of desire. You're so in love with Jesus Christ that your desire is His desire. His desire is what you want your desire to be. You begin to pray for those who have hurt you, and not in the ones that I used to pray. God, sick them. No, you're praying for them because you really want God to bless them. You've come to a point when you look in the mirror or the magnifying glass or the microscope, you realize that you had a lot of forgiveness that needed to be done in your heart, and therefore you have a desire and say, God, I want you to bless them. Something's going on. Remember, hurt people hurt people. There's something going in their lives, and God, would you just bless them? It's His loving kindness that leads people to repentance. And then, right, accompanied with that is level four. It's very close to desire, but it's called delight. You love seeing God bless them. A few people reach this. And the reason we don't do that is because we're still struggling with going back to step number one and realizing who we are in Christ. But when we begin to delight and say, God, would you just bless them beyond their anticipation or their ability to grasp how wide and deep your love is for them. When you really delight, you know, it gives you freedom, it gives you power, and it unleashes the anointing of the Holy Spirit within your life. Can you imagine what it would do in your life when that chain and ball and chain came off of unforgiveness, where you get to a point where you can pray for others and say, God, bless their socks off. That's hard to do. But when you begin and you're at this level, when you begin to practice that, and it's not just what me preaching and Jay, it's when I begin to practice that, God does something that only God can do. The supernatural begins to become more and more, and His anointing becomes more and more, and God will use you more and more in this area of forgiveness. And then there's level five, which is really level six if you start at zero, is distance. This now becomes a new, amazing, exciting, new lifestyle. You see Jesus, you see through Jesus' eyes, you begin to ask God, help me see people the way you see them. Trust me on the cross. What do you think He saw? He saw liars, cheaters, abusers. All the things that we're talking about here. He'd been hurt physically. He'd been hurt emotionally. He had been betrayed by his best friends that he hung out with every day for 3 years. And yet he had a lifestyle of forgiveness. And we've reached a pinnacle, if you will, when we begin to delight and pray for those who have done wrong to us. That unleashes the power of God in our life. It unleashes the peace that we've so been longing for. It unleashes the joy that seems to escape us. It just relieves so many things, and we've reached a level of anointing when we're at stage six, this stage of going the distance. It's our lifestyle. We can't help but pray for somebody. They do me wrong. That's just an opportunity, God, for me to pray them into your kingdom. God, that's just a chance for me to join you in doing kingdom work in their life. Let's do it, God. Let's pray. Let's pray your blessings and see what happens. There's some things that change when that happens. So how do we do that? The seven steps, and I believe there are seven steps, practical steps, that you and I can take to understand and begin to grasp and begin to practice and model total forgiveness. Number one, refuse to gossip about the other person. Choose silence over gossip. Well, I gotta test to make sure my feelings are right. No. Bible says speak only those things that edify others, that lift up, that embolden and empower. So we refuse to gossip about the person. Now, everyone sitting here, I promise you this because I just know human nature. Every one of us are guilty of gossip. Every one of us. We can't keep it silent. We try, but we can't. I got to go and say, man, did you see what that person did to me? Am I wrong for feeling this way? And I look to the cross, and can you imagine Jesus doing it? Did you see what they just did to me? I'm not going to forgive them. Angels, come on down and do the hard work. I'm coming off this cross, y'all. That would be if it were Jay. Number two, so you refuse to gossip. You stay silent. Speak only those things that lift up and that edify and help encourage them to get where they need to be. Number two, be nice to the person. I'm not going to be nice to that person that abused me. My wife, the great theologian that she is, and the great tool of the Holy Spirit, she's not the Holy Spirit, but she's a conduit of the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget, through our 35 years of marriage, this key phrase, which is biblical, I believe, she says, if you're rude, you're wrong. If you're rude, you're wrong. We can speak the truth, the Bible says, in love. But if you're rude, you're wrong. So start being nice to people. He'll take off guard. They're like, what in the world? That's why people come to Christ. It's his loving kindness. Like, what in the world? Why would you do that for me? I did this to you. Ask people like Corrie ten Boom. Ask people who have been incarcerated wrongly. Ask those that we see where they're able to dispense forgiveness in areas that we would struggle with because they have learned that holding on to it hurts them more than it hurts the other person. Be nice to them. Quit rubbing their past, their nose in their past. You ever done that where you just every time you meet, you got to bring up the past? Here we go again. You're ever going to let me up off the mat? God wants us to let others off the mat because he let us off the mat. I was down and done for, but Jesus. So we got to quit holding people's face down and let them up off of the mat. Let their past be the past at last. And there's no stipulation that says that I don't have to forgive this section. I only have to do this section, but I don't have to do that. No, God doesn't work. That's not in the way he does business. Let their past be the past. Now, we talked about, if you're joining us, that forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean reconciliation. Forgiveness requires one. Reconciliation requires two. And sometimes you just get up against people that are not going to forgive or don't want forgiveness. They don't want to have anything to do with you, whatever. But at least we're freed when we practice forgiveness. Oh, boy. Number four, start helping the person. Start helping the person. One of the ways you can start helping the person is try to have open communication and see what's going on in their lives. I've just found over the years that a lot of times those people that cut me off on the road, there could be their child's in the hospital and they're trying to get to the hospital as soon as they can. You know, maybe they're try to get somewhere or make sure something's happening maybe someone comes in and they blow off steam at me. I just happened to be the one that the target was, but it wasn't the cause of it. Something happened at home. Something happened in their personal life. They may have just gotten fired. And guess what? The first person they see, they don't want to see a happy pastor. They want to hold on to that guilt and all that stuff. But find out what's going on in their life and maybe then begin to listen to them. Protect the person's dignity. That kind of goes with the gossip thing. Man, when we mess up, man, the last thing we want to do is lose our dignity, right? And everybody, somebody just constantly remind us how sorry we are. Value them as a person instead of defining them by an act. You might want to remember that. Value the other person as a person instead of defining them by a particular act. Doesn't take away consequences when things are illegal, and I'm not saying that. This is talking about a matter of the heart. Renew daily your commitment to forgive. Here's what Scripture says. Luke 6:37, Jesus says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." We have to have a commitment to forgiveness, family. And finally, pray. Pray for God to bless that person. Not what you think they deserve, but what God wants them to have. What does God desire of every person on the face of the earth? Eternal life through Christ Jesus. Being reunited with their Creator. Begin to pray that God would grant them the desires of His heart, not what we feel they deserve. Kind of skirted around it a little bit this morning, but Matthew 5 says, "You've heard it said," and there was a lot of those scriptures, "You heard it said, but I say," he says, that "you've heard it say that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." You're like, well, what if they're the same? You know, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, these are the words of Jesus Christ. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Why? So that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Forgiveness makes us more like Jesus. Forgiveness shows the world that He loves them. And that it takes people aback and they don't know how to deal with it. But you know, you never know. Paul says that one plants that seed. Another one comes along and tills the soil. Another one waters that. You never know that when you begin to forgive others, God is at work. He doesn't slumber, doesn't sleep. And He wants all to have a relationship with Him. And forgiveness is one of those things that He uses, one of those tools that He uses to bring people to Him. I didn't say they were easy steps, but they are practical steps. Say, okay, now what? So what? What happens? What are the consequences if you and I don't forgive? There are consequences when you and I don't forgive. The first one and the worst one is that we forfeit a closeness to God and the blessings He has for us this side of eternity. Many times when if we have a bitter heart, the Holy Spirit resides in us, and we're not acting like Jesus. What does He do? It's as if He gives us that separation, that prompting of the Holy Spirit. We were close and not close, and we long for it. We need to figure out what took that closeness from us, and many, many times it's unforgiveness. When you don't forgive, you grant access to Satan. You give access to Satan. Think about that for a second. It's like opening the door and say, come on in and wreak havoc in my life. Come on in and ruin my testimony. Come on in and make me a conduit of hate. And when we don't forgive, we suffer the consequences of bitterness. Satan comes in and he wants us to be bitter. He doesn't want us to be better. We suffer the consequences of anger, hurt, frustration, guilt, continued unrest in our souls. That's what happens when we refuse to forgive. And there's so many people within the church that want to continuously live in the past. And God wants us to press on to the future. And I just can't imagine one day He's going to say, yeah, I knew all about that. Why didn't you forgive? Why didn't you let go of that? Why didn't you experience all the things that I wanted you to experience? We suffer and we have broken and destroyed relationships. That's what we suffer. When you refuse to forgive someone, I mean, any married couple will tell you that your spouse, husband or wife, He's going to make you mad at times. Can I get a witness to that? They're going to flat tick you off. They know the buttons to push and know what's going to happen when they push the button. But if you don't learn to practice forgiveness, you're going to have a bitter, bad relationship. It's when you learn to say, I forgive you. Is something going on that I need to know about? Love to talk to you about some of our stuff in our marriage, but because many times my wife's been better at this than me. She said, what's going on? What's going on? You're not acting like yourself. Broken and destroyed personal relationships. But I don't want to end on that. I want to end with consequences for you when you do forgive. Something happens about your relationship with God. Something electric, something dynamic, something fantastic, something awesome happens as we draw closer to God. The Word says He will draw closer to us, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit begins to really have freedom in our lives and freedom to use us in our lives to really reflect Jesus Christ. There is nothing quite like it to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit that has not been quenched by unforgiveness. You want a real dynamic, red-hot, relevant relationship with Jesus Christ? Practice forgiveness. That's a consequence. This anointing of God. This anointing of God where people begin to see, they know you're going through the same junk they are. And they're like, what's going on there? I'm going through that too, and you seem so happy. Conduit. Platform. Springboard to talk to them about Jesus. There's just something that begins to happen. And we are released from the unforgiveness ball and chain. We don't have to live with that anymore. Aren't you tired of it being too heavy? Aren't you tired of living with constant disruption in your heart, frustration, anger, all that stuff? Aren't you tired of that? Then this morning I beg you to act like, walk like, talk like, and behave like Jesus. I believe that when we begin to forgive, it releases the gift or the fruit of the Spirit of God in us. Listen to this. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Ephesians chapter 5. Forgiveness allows God to begin to pour into us what He wants us to look like. You want love, you want joy, you want peace and all those things. You got to get your mind around the forgiveness of the cross and what that means for you and me. So now what? Let me close with a scripture. Church, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt shall lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled on by men. But you, he says, you, we, the family, are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And he gives light for all who are in the house in the same way. Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. What he's saying there, apply it to forgiveness, is that we don't accept forgiveness and then crawl back in our cocoon and say, I got mine, you figure out how to get yours. It simply means that we have been experienced forgiveness, we've been given forgiveness, so now instead of being just recipients, we become dispensers of mercy and grace and forgiveness. Because we had several different things throughout the service, I didn't include this as part of the closure. But I want you to think about it. What I had intended to do was to have the cross down here on the floor and you write down the name, our names, of the people you're struggling to forgive. And I was going to have you step out of your seats and come and just lay those at the foot of the cross. Here's what we're going to do instead of that. In your hearts, note that. Ask God to bring that name or names to your heart right now. In just a minute, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to do something that may be outside your comfort zone. Imagine this is the place where God is saying, come and lay that burden at my feet, and I'll make it light. Give it to me. Let me help you with this. I don't want you to bear that anymore. This is what we call the altar call. This is the time to do business with God. This is the time that's serious. When God's people get serious, you want to see this church explode? You want to see your faith explode? You want to live a dynamic Christian life, the one that you're tired of just reading about in the Bible? You want to be living in that. And lay those things at the altar and ask God to help you. He will help you become a dispenser of forgiveness. Let's pray. And then as the Lord leads, this whole area here is just a time to come and just kind of mentally lay that name, those names at the altar. Let go of your bitterness. Let go of your anger. Let go of your fear. Trust God. Trust God. He is trustworthy because He loves you. Father, it's in Jesus' name and the power of your Holy Spirit that right now we just say thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for not just being a theory, but God, you practiced it. And Jesus, thank you for being willing to be obedient and show us what the love of the Father looks like. Thank you, God, for forgiving us of our sins and giving us hope and a future, eternity. So God, right now, Holy Spirit, please, God, sweep across the cords of everyone's soul this morning. Help us move to action. Help us move to obedience. Help us move to freedom and peace. Help us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, and as God leads, this altar is open.